Hey, this is Josh Keaton, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
This is Jason David Frank, Tommy the Green Ranger, and you are listening to the Command Center.
Hey, it's Jesse Rass, and do you love comic books? Do you have opinions about comic books? Do you like hearing opinions on said comic books? Then you need to make the great escape, and it's a small leap into another world. We call the Pull Bag. And you'll only find it here on the GCRN, otherwise known as the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to The Pullbag. This is episode 435. That's right, folks, episode 435. Holy crap, we are almost at the end of 2021. Can you believe it?
No, I cannot.
Hey, folks, TFG and Mike here. Sorry for the interruption. This is episode 462 of The Pullbag, and it's probably even a completely different episode number than that, but Jesse Raz and I recorded this months and months and months ago, and I just never got it out, never got it online, so here it is now. Enjoy our conversation about Boom Studios' Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Pink, because real men wear pink.
Didn't 2020 lose? Oh, wait, no, it didn't. It won.
Where's Statler and Waldorf?
I know, right? Boo, boo.
Boo, man.
That's right. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. As you can hear, I am joined by Mr. Jesse Raz. Hello, sir.
Well, hello. How are you doing? The power protected you, my friend.
No, it has not, sadly. But that's a long story that's at least 4 months in the past at this point, because we're recording this 4, 2, 7, whatever number, however many months in the past it is.
We're not talking about Time Force. We're talking about Power Rangers Pink. So time travel's not a factor here, man.
Dude, when I record podcasts, time is always a factor. Not the recording time, but just the time around it. But yes, real men read pink, folks. That's right. See what I did there? Come on.
I thought my segue was better, but, you know, hey.
Oh, come on. I'm taking something you did for the longest time, and I think you still do the real men wear pink stuff, usually in breast cancer month.
That's a great campaign that the American Cancer Society does, for those that don't know, where men get involved for cancer research, specifically breast cancer research. I did that once, and that's because they usually only allow those people that do it to do it once or twice. So anybody really? That doesn't know me, which is 90% of you, that's what he's referencing.
I'll put a video in the show notes, folks. I'll put the pie video in the show notes, folks.
That's fantastic. to get away from me, we are talking about Power Rangers Pink. That is the, I believe it was 6-part miniseries from Boom Comics.
Yeah, from Boom Studios. Yep.
And this was a fantastic one. I know you've got all the info on the writer, illustrator, all of that good stuff.
Yes, it was written by Brendan Fletcher and Kelly Thompson. The story was by them. It was written by Brendan, Kelly, and Teeny Howard. The illustrator was done by Danielle DiNaluco. The colors were done by Sarah Stern. Letters by Ed Dukeshire. The main cover was done by Babs Tarr. So Power Rangers Pink, and this also, at least the trade does, the physical and the digital trade include a introduction by none other than Amy Jo Johnson, Little Miss Pink herself, Kimberly Hart. That was really cool. Awesome. That was nice.
Well, you know what? She, just to segue a little bit, Amy has, she stepped back a little bit from the limelight in the last, 10 years. Because she came out and she's a very private person. And, I think, we all kind of take for granted that what actors, celebrities, whatnot, they must like being around people. They must like that. And she talked about struggling with that a little bit, but she's actually stepped back in the limelight and done a couple of things. And she still totally embraces her Pink Ranger history. And it's always nice to see her doing something like that for the fans. She's always very generous like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is very, very cool. And this story, I have to say, I am a huge fan of Kelly Thompson. I've never been a huge fan of Brendan Fletcher.
Mike, I lost you.
There, Brendan Fletcher and a couple other people, I forget who originally did it, but when they took over Batgirl from Gail Simone of New 52 fame, I wasn't a fan of that direction for the Batgirl story, so in turn did not make me a fan of that writer. However, this is awesome.
Hey, Mike, I lost you for that, like all of that, so...
Oh, fuck.
Not all of that. Right after you took up the last thing I said about Amy, then you, I caught like a word. And then you,
God damn it.
You can probably edit around me.
Yeah, I can.
That's fine. That's fine. You don't need to go back and redo that. Just, you know, you talk and then we pick up.
Yeah.
Okay. What was the last thing you said? Just so I know.
I'll just pick it back up and you can just react to it. Okay. I'll just do it again. It's fine.
Sorry.
No, it's not your fault. It's the lovely people at Zencaster or the internet connection or whatever. Okay. So I love this book, and I was surprised that I love this book because it is written by one of – like, I love Kelly Thompson. Kelly Thompson's amazing. I love her writing. I love her work. I need to read more of her stuff. I read and reviewed all of her gem stuff that she did from IDW. I have never been a fan of Brendan Fletcher. It has nothing to do with the man. It has to do with the writing and the direction that a different company decided to take with – Batgirl, well, obviously, you know, the company folks,
okay.
You know, so it's like going from what Gail Simone did to going to like a more teenagerish looking, teenagerish style written Batgirl. And I've never been a fan of his, but this, Power Rangers Pink, I absolutely love this. This is so, so cool.
Well, I remember when this first came out because I have been all on the Boom Studios Power Rangers comics since the get-go. And this, I'm sure the internet will correct me, but I'm pretty sure this was their first like one-off spin-off, like mini.
Yeah, it pretty much was. Yeah.
And I was under the impression that every Ranger was going to get kind of a one-off. And then they did this one. And then none of the other Rangers got one. And then they kind of moved on to other threads, which I think in hindsight is good.
Yeah. Because as much as I would like a Billy one-off or an Adam one-off or a Rocky one-off or an Aisha one-off, that would be kind of cool.
Well, I think some of them, you know, you could make the justification because, you know, Billy going off to Aquitar, you know, that would be – would be much better told than we have some random actor and some garbled audio and, you know, he deserves a better send-off. So Power Rangers Blue would have been better, would have been good.
Yeah. And who knows, maybe Boom will do that. I am not current with Boom at the moment. I'm reading them for the podcast kind of thing. So I am not keeping up with a lot of comics currently because
it's hard.
It's especially doing a podcast reviewing comics, reviewing individual issues is extremely hard for me because you have to look at the scope of them on the individual issue, not the overall story. And that's what I prefer because I want the whole story now. Give it all to me. Yeah. That's just the way I am.
But, you know, because, and I don't think I'm spoiling it. I think you're kind of at this point, but you know, we already get, in the main series, we already get a little bit of backstory about Jason, Trini, and Zach. We get a little bit of this here, which is kind of conflicting in some ways. We'll get into that. I imagine later. But Billy would be a good one to get a little bit of backstory on that send off. You know, Aisha might be because, you know, Aisha just kind of was like, hey, I'm going to stay in Africa. Here's Tanya. Go have fun. You know, maybe kind of tweak her farewell a little bit, you know, or maybe talk about kind of like what they did with this one. Have Aisha have a problem that comes up post world going back to normal and her getting older. And then she needs Power Ranger help in Africa, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
you know, so there's avenues, and I think there's great storytelling. And I think, you know, I was telling you before we recorded, I think when these Boom Studios comics really work is when they exploit holes in the continuity of the show. You know, they use it and then build upon it as opposed to working against it. Because it would be very easy to go, well, that was really kind of a cheesy ending. And so, you know what? We're just going to forget it happened kind of thing.
Yeah, that's one good thing Boom has been doing so far with these Power Rangers comics is that they've found a pocket in time. I don't want to sit here and say it's a what if kind of thing because, you know.
A little bit, but this is more like this could have happened on the show and it wouldn't have messed up anything.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm saying, like, in most of these types of stories, it's a pocket in the timeline of, hey, by the way, this is what happened to Kimberly after the fact. This is years later. This is blah, 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 blah. And you have an adult Zach, an adult this, an adult that, and it works. And
I think it's to their credit because, you know, the people they're appealing to are, you know, 30-somethings, 20-somethings that watch the show. And you can enhance that, like, I remember this happened, but then fill in some blanks and maybe give more detail and make it a little bit more mature. I mean, you know, they don't have to necessarily be blowing heads off and stuff, but, like, make it a little bit more realistic or a little bit more adult. Then I think that works to its credit. And so far, I think a lot of what Boom Studios has done has been in that direction. And it's worked. It's been good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Getting into the comic, the first issue, we meet Kimberly. And she's
doing exactly what she, you know, what we said that she, what she said on the show. She's. I think it's like the Pan Global Games, which is their Olympics. She's out there competing, and you can tell just in one panel that she's, you know, won like 5 or 6 gold medals, you know, all of that stuff. So she's being successful, but then she, you know, in true Ranger fashion, something's not right.
Something's not right, and she throws on a black leather motorcycle jacket and gets on her bike. Okay, Kimberly, that works.
Hey.
Hey, that works.
Given what we know about Ranger Slayer and how all that comes up.
Oh, no. Absolutely. Yep.
It fits so well. Like, this came out, I believe, before the whole Ranger Slayer arc came out.
It did, yeah.
And so that, I got to think there's got to be some inspiration because when that came out, I immediately went back and it was like, that's kind of like the Kimberly we saw in Pink. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I love that.
Yeah. And I love her new suit.
Yeah. I thought that was a nice touch. And I love how in different situations, different scenarios, you know, the suits have sort of changed a little bit. They've taken a few liberties with it because, you know, the power comes from a different place or all that stuff. It's a great way visually to show that. And, you know, because the last thing you want to do if you're Boom is go through and go, well, you know, we could make the Power Ranger suits look cooler, so we're just going to redesign them. You don't want to do that. But this is a great way to go about doing that without hurting the original characters.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're not, again, this story takes place years after she was a Ranger. She no longer has any power until Zordon and Alpha contact her and say, oh yeah, by the way, we're going to share some of Zordon's energy with you so you can become a Pink Ranger again. And morphing the designs of the suits works because you look at this page where she has the new suit and
I love the black, the pocket.
Yes. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah. It's very motorcycle-ish compared to what her civilian clothes are.
Yeah.
So, you know, it works. It's cool.
Yeah. And by the way, I loved the little loophole that they said. And again, the attention to detail, I think, is what also makes these comics work. Because Alpha says something about the way she got her powers back is that her powers weren't transferred by the Sword of Light like Rocky Adam and Aisha and Jason and Zach, which they had to completely invent that because, you know, they wanted off the show. But anyway, she didn't. That's not the way her powers were transferred. She had some like residual pink energy that the Sword of Light brought out. But I'm like, you could have just made something up that had nothing to do with the continuity of the show, but to take that little piece and then just build it. It's a panel. It's a throwaway. It's a total like technical thing, but it's like that took effort to go back and look up, okay, what is a plausible way we can get her back in spandex, you know?
Yeah.
So I, as a fan, again, I really appreciate those little nods, especially later on when we start talking about Zords, which is my favorite part about this book. But we're not there yet.
No. And come to find out, at the Pan Global Games, Goldar and his minions are doing what they normally do.
Trouble, but mischief, trying to take over the world.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's nothing new here, but that's not a bad thing. It's, you know, again, going to us 30 and even maybe 40-something-year-olds who were 13 at the time when the show came out. Thank you very much, you young whippersnapper. you know, and remembering that Goldar just sits there and does evil for, you know, whoever he's working for, whether it's Rita or Zed or whatever. And the whole thing here is that her parents have been kidnapped. Her mom has been kidnapped. And, yeah, okay.
Which again, though, it's very interesting to go back because that was the other plot point of this is in the show is that Kimberly's mom, which it was a big deal that Kimberly's parents are divorced. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. Like that was the Parents Day episode. That was a thing.
Yeah.
She ends up marrying a French painter. And so for her, that's part of the reason why she's in France. So again, going back to the continuity. There. So yeah, so she hops on a motorbike. She gets there. You find Goldar, who is actually, you know, kind of to his credit because he was 100% loyal to Rita, would never have pulled this with Rita. But Zed, he's always kind of, you know, trying to play his own little game here. So he's kind of out on his own with another monster.
Yeah,
this whole little plot.
Yep.
Which is cool.
And he's basically turning everybody, including Kimberly's mom, into monsters.
Yeah, into these weird like fish monsters. They're kind of like zombies. Like they can bite you and sort of infect you, and you know they're a little strange.
Yeah, who would have thought we would ever have fish zombies of all things?
Right.
There's two things I do not really care for is zombies and fish tacos. No, thank you.
Oh, there you go. And then you got them all in one. But you know, as she's going along, she finds this cave. She finds the hideout with Goldar and the monster, and you know, she realizes she's in over her head, and she meets. As she's leaving or whatever, she ends up running into another guy, another stranger, another character that we meet.
Surge.
Yes. And, you know, so Surge kind of tags along with her for a little bit and they kind of meet. But then she goes off on her own and recruits two familiar faces.
Mm-hmm.
Trini.
Because she has to.
Yeah. Which it's really interesting. So here's one thing that I rereading this, I'm like kind of torn because it does get a little close to some continuity errors possibly in the greater Boom timeline. Because if spoiler alert, if you've not read ahead, Jason, Zach, and Trini, when they leave, they go off to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not run a karate academy and, you know, peaceful wherever they're at.
Right.
You know, so, but I guess conceivably there could have been enough time that arc could have played out. And she's, you know, because I think when that arc plays out, Kimberly's still there. So maybe they're no longer doing what they were doing. And now this is post that too. So it's not a complete continuity breaker, but it did kind of make me go, huh, how does that line up?
Yeah. Again, this is years in the future. With the timeline.
Because Kat's and she's Pink Ranger.
Yeah, Kat's Pink Ranger. So this is after, obviously, whatever. So the way I look at this is kind of like how you would look at a normal standard. Let's say, for example, samurai episode. They start at the academy. Yeah. Monster comes in. They go fight the monster at the end of the episode. They're back at the academy doing the same thing. Yeah. So maybe in Zach and Trini's case, they're at the academy. Kim goes to get them. They go off on this adventure with her, mm-hmm. and then they come back to the academy. I don't know. Whatever.
Maybe. Like I said, it's not a complete, like, it's very much in the realm of possibility. Like, I'm sure there's somebody out there that's mapped it. That's like, this doesn't work because of this. Or they mapped it out and it's like, this doesn't work. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's close enough that it doesn't spoil anything.
And it doesn't really matter because this is a one shot. Yes. Overall, the timeline, overall, whatever. Yeah. But I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that big of a deal because, again, this
Mike,
is the first.
It's always a big deal. It's continuity. No, I'm kidding.
Yes, I normally agree with you. Normally, I'm right there with you screaming.
It's a big deal, man. What are you talking about? It's not a big deal.
Yeah, I normally would be screaming right there with you. Less fishy sounding, but yes.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's believable enough for yes. me to say that Power Rangers Pink issues 1-5 exist slightly past, like when we meet the actual Rangers with Kat and Rocky and Tommy and everybody, mm-hmm. they're on some other completely different mission that has nothing to do with what's currently going on.
Exactly.
At least at the time that this was published.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of a monster of the week sort of scenario.
Yeah. And that's okay. It works.
Yeah. And so what's really interesting is, and what was cool is when this came out, you know, this was the first time we'd gotten to look at post Power Rangers, Zach and Trini.
Yeah.
So it was really nice that they got brought into this story and, you know, you find out they've got a little romance going, which again, I don't know that watching the show, I would have thought that, but you know what? It makes sense here. They make it make sense.
Yep. And I love Zach, and Kimberly's like, you guys ready? Man, I haven't teleported in forever. Absolute right? Best way to travel.
It's cool.
Yeah, it is very cool.
And they have this kind of reunion with Zordon, who, you know, and she decides to share some of her powers along with some of Zordon's with Zach and Trini. And, you know, much like they did with the green, when the Rangers all morphed via the lens of the dragon dagger,
mm-hmm.
and all of their suits were green. I thought this was a great nod that it's their colors, but there's the accents of pink. And again, their suits are different, reflecting where the power's coming from, but also where they're coming from.
Yeah. Yeah, it really works. And those helmets look great though.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're real sharp. I like, you know, I didn't know how I would feel with Zach with a little bit of pink, but I think the black, the pink, and the white, I think it fits. And I like his sort of like hoodie that goes with his.
Yeah.
Suit, you know?
Yep. Absolutely. So fun.
Yeah. So this is where, you know, so we get in the story. He's recruited them. And then, you know, in the bubbling in the background, because Zordon had mentioned that, you know, the Power Rangers are off world.
Yep.
You know, then somehow we get like a leaked kind of communication between Tommy and Kimberly. And so now we have this heightened battle here, but we know that there's some other shit going on elsewhere, which kind of adds a nice other sort of level of danger subplot here.
Yeah, without having to focus on the main team right away, without having to make this, not that they would have done this, thankfully, without having to make this a Tommy Kimberly thing.
Yeah.
There is still that aspect to it, but it's so far in the background. I mean, this mission is hers, Trini, and Zach's, along with the two new Rangers that are going to be coming up here. So they have a whole team of five.
Yeah, which is really cool. And that, and we get, you know, again, we get a female Red Ranger in this too later on. We'll find out that. I do like, you know, you brought up Kimberly and Tommy. I do like that she acknowledges the Dear John, you know, she sent him a Dear John letter. She broke up with him. I like that it's at least acknowledged. And again, the emotions are there, but it's not so obvious and spelled out.
It doesn't have to be hey, folks, this is the 90s, and this is our third season, and we have to force feed this into you. And don't get me wrong, I love Tommy and Kimberly. I love them as a couple. I love them as the ideal 90s teenagers that would eventually have feelings for each other. What I'm saying is that the comics here can expand on or ignore or only give it, you know, a toila kind of feeling to it, whereas they don't need, like, again, this book, this 5-issue series is Kimberly's story. And right now in her life, Tommy's off being Mr. White Dragon Zord and not dealing, you know, White Tiger Zord, Common Zord, whatever. But I'm saying, like, he's off, you know, being the leader of the Power Rangers, the main team, and she has this side adventure. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I think, and it's going to sound weird, but I think the acting in this book is really good, because, or at least the characterization, because, like, again, Kimberly kind of acknowledges it through a speech bubble, but you can kind of tell through the way it's drawn and those brief interactions that it's a subtext that she's got there. But she's obviously, that's not her primary focus. She's a Power Ranger. She's got a problem dealing with and all that stuff. Because, you know, as soon as the three of them come back, they're attacked. Kimberly loses the Sword of Light, which Zordon's like, hey, by the way, that's like a mainline into my power. Don't lose it.
And she loses it
to frickin' Goldar. And, you know, if Goldar were half incompetent or half competent, he would have probably figured out a way to, you know, destroy Zordon with it. But, you know, instead he locks them up and powers up. One of my favorite things about this story, it is Typhonus, which is Cyclopsis and the remains of the Thunder Zords. And sweet baby Jesus, was I excited when I saw that panel.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Like, again, like, because, you know, I had to think, I was like, well, what happened to the Thunder Zords? They blew up. Rito Revolta, like, they blew in what was like a horrible trauma, you know, inducing episode. Like, the Thunder Megazord's head fell off.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're totally in pieces somewhere, you know, in this giant Zord graveyard, which, you know, who the hell knows what they do with them. you know, because the dinosaur, and it's interesting they picked that, because the Dinozords, you know, according to the show continuity, don't exist anymore because they use those parts to build the Thunder Zords.
Right.
The Thunder Zords would be lying around in pieces at some point. So to see him pick that and the remains of Cyclopsis.
Yeah,
his own Zord is so awesome.
Yeah, and yeah, absolutely it is. And what's so funny is the close up on that panel when we get the reveal of Typhonus, and we see, like you said, it's the head of Cyclopsis with the body of the Thunder Zord.
Yeah,
get the close up as Kimberly stares at it. My Firebird? Like, again, I'm reading this in Comixology Guided View, so literally that panel is my entire monitor right now. So essentially, I'm looking at Typhonus' crotch.
Exactly.
Not that I want to. Not that I want to, but
what I do love, and I think there are moments throughout the entire Boom Studio series that I love the bond they have to their Zords.
Yep.
You know, because as one would, you know, she's a flyer. She's done that. So I love that, like, they draw that's her primary focus. So she's like, oh, my God, I thought that was gone forever. Now here it is. Because it's like you've got the body of the Lion Zord. You got one of the arms of the Tiger Zord. You got one arm, it looks like, of the Red Dragon Zord with Cyclopsis. Then you've got a Cyclopsis leg and then the blue unicorn. And then, of course, you've got the crotch and the butt of the Firebird, you know, right there. So it's a total hodgepodge of it. And I freaking love it. And I love how, like, freaked out they are about it.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of like when back in the last arc we did, the last main story arc, which was the one we both didn't really care for. Beyond the Grid.
Oh yeah.
When we did that, and they had to put all their powers together to make the, like, I love that Boom is doing that with the story. Yeah. I love that that is the story of how all of these different Rangers get a Megazord. Like, they don't all have to be on the same team. They can all pick off of, obviously, yeah, in this case, they are all on the same team, but, you know, they can all pick off of each other's powers, and it's all interchangeable, folks. It's all interlockable.
Yeah, no, I mean it's great. Like, it kind of reminds me of later on we get the Gravedigger Zord, mm-hmm, which again is a bunch of the Thunder Zords repurposed, and I love that idea that they picked up where somewhere, like, what I'm waiting for honestly is someone to realize that the Dragon Zord is still sleeping in Angel Grove Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't have any sort of final thing about the Dragon Zord. It's just that the Green Ranger lost his powers, and so therefore the Dragon Zord doesn't have power. So it's still lying there. So I'm kind of hoping that at some point somebody will take that and do something with it, kind of like this, where you have all these Zords that are lying in pieces, and, you know, everybody's sort of using them to make their own Frankenzord.
I wish, and I don't remember, so you'll have to remind me. It's been a while. Whatever happened to Tor?
He's the same thing. So he didn't get destroyed, which, okay, we find out in this book, because they use him.
Yeah. No. Yeah, okay.
They use him. So, again, as far as continuity goes, that all checks out, because all the other, you know, Zords have been kind of destroyed, but Tor wasn't there. They weren't using Tor, mostly because they don't, you know, there's only so much Sentai footage of it.
you're right.
And it was actually a real turtle in the Sentai. That's a weird thing. It was a guy. It was a guy, I believe. Anyway, it was a weird Sentai. Not one of my favorites. But anyway. It's intact. So that part is there. So, you know, we've got this big reveal of Typhonus. And, you know, the Rangers are kind of locked up. And then you've got Surge in there. And they're trying to figure out what's going on. They gotta break out. They don't want to, you know, Goldar, yeah, all this stuff. Things seem like it's the end. And then they teamwork and, you know, figure it out.
Yep, they teamwork it and figure it out. And, of course, somebody has to get a sprained ankle at some point in this terrain, though.
Of course. Well, it's kind of cool. So they introduced this notion that the communicator has holographic technology, kind of like Tony Stark.
Yep.
And so they use their communicator to make it look like the main Power Rangers team is here and to distract them, and they get freaked out.
Yes.
And it's a cool ploy. Again, you know, it's a nice little plot device. And then, yes, as they're escaping, somebody's ankle gets twisted, and oh my gosh. And thank God it's not Kat, because Kat always found a way in the show to somehow get her ankle twisted. And Tommy, and she didn't ask anybody else for help. It was always, Tommy, come help me. And it's like, all right, calm down.
Well, you got to remember, though, Kat originally was evil. So, you know,
I'm just saying, like, you know, you're a strong, independent woman, Kat. You can handle this on your own. You know, I love Kat as a character, and I love the actress that plays her, but it was like, come on. Kimberly wasn't this weak.
Again, I don't think it was, at least in the beginning when she was still evil, I don't think it was weakness. I just think it was her being a woman. Anyway,
Okay. Well, anyway, so they're escaping. Kimberly ends up getting through to the monster by telling it that she loves her, and because, mm-hmm, she realizes that's her mom. Particular monster is her mom. So they get her on her side, and then that helps them get back mm-hmm, the darkness. They fight, they get their powers back. They continue to fight, and then they act as a diversion while all of the other hostages get out of there.
Yep.
Which is total, like, in Power Rangers fashion, you know. But, you know, and what's kind of interesting too, in some of the Boom comics, I don't want to say they kill, but they are very, like, deliberate about, like, they destroy monsters. They, you know, all this stuff. And so they have to show great restraint here, because they know all the monsters are other humans.
Humans,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so they're having to kind of pull their punches a little bit. Kimberly gets into a sword fight with Goldar, which is pretty freaking awesome to watch.
Yeah, it is.
And then something happens that anybody but Goldar would have seen coming. A double cross.
Of course. I mean, come on. How do you not... See, that's the problem with Goldar. He raises up these underlings, and like this, what's his name? I want to say Zero, but I know it's not Zero.
Which one?
The dude who double crosses him. The blue dude.
Oh, Squat or Babu?
No. The guy that's right here, after years without
the monster. Yeah, the monster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The monster.
Yeah, he's totally used him because, A, it's through his magic that the people are transformed, but also he's the one that can control them, which, again, only Goldar is dumb enough to not mm-hmm. have a contingency plan for this.
Yeah.
Sort of built in. And I'm trying to remember what his name was. I'm trying to find it.
I don't remember.
I'll find it here in a second. But anyway, yeah. So he basically announces his double cross and steals Typhonus.
Yep.
Which they're both like, what? No, that's my Megazord.
Yeah, like, that's Goldar's Megazord. How dare you? Virto. Virto Velcro something. Not to take away from the character's name, but I mean, I look at that and I'm like, ooh, that's kind of like my shoes as a 5-year-old in the 80s.
Anyway.
Wow.
Velcro.
So Kimberly and Goldar, their sword fight sort of takes place inside Typhonus. She infiltrates Typhonus because, again, you know, these are Zords she's familiar with, which I think is really makes sense. They sort of go in there and, you know, he takes the Megazord out and all of this stuff. It starts filling with water and she and Goldar kind of decide, all right, let's
work together.
I love Goldar has this line in here that made me laugh. The noble little pink ranger encouraging my vengeance, which I can totally hear Robert Axelrod, rest in peace, in my head, you know, the noble little pink ranger engage, you know, which I do a terrible Goldar, but you know,
mm-hmm. Wait, he wasn't, Robert did not voice him. He voiced Zed.
He did Finster. He didn't do Goldar.
No, that was Kieran Mann, I believe.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, because the only reason why, and it's not because I don't love the man himself, no pun intended. The only reason why I remember this is because when I got to, I had to watch Team Knight Rider for Beyond the Night, our Knight Rider podcast. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. The voice of Beast sounds awfully a lot like Goldar.
Huh.
Because the truck Beast in Team Knight Rider from 1997 is the same voice actor as Goldar.
Well, and now that you say that, I'm like, I totally knew that. But side note, and this is a little bit of a side, but whatever. In the season of, not Dino Fury, the season right before it, Beast Morphers.
Yeah.
Goldar Maximus comes back and it's not him. It's not his voice. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh, come on. What's wrong with you people?
Yeah. He comes back the same episode that, Austin St. John comes back with.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Yeah.
I watched that episode with my son, having remembered that, you know, when I was a little older than him watching Power Rangers for the first time and my wife in there and Austin St. John comes in and I just start giggling. She goes, what? I'm like, he's not a good actor, but oh my God, he's so good with this. Like, you know, it's just, and it's not just, you know, it's not Austin to all the Austin's fault because it's Power Rangers. There's only so much.
There's only so much you can do.
And the writing on that episode could have been so much better, but still, it's just like, I all of a sudden was 8 years old again, watching him going, ah! So it was really cool.
Yeah.
But it would have been cool if they'd gotten him to voice Goldar Maximus, but they didn't. And so anyway, but again, I can hear him in my head talking about the Pink Ranger because, you know, he always made comments about the little Pink Ranger on the show. Yep. So anyway, so the, you know, Zach and Trini are fighting off the monsters and everybody else. The Megazord is kind of going off on its own. The water's filling off. There's this great back and forth between Goldar and Kimberly about an escape pod. And he's like, I'm not a coward. You know, these are, you know, made from some of the greatest Zords ever to be down. And then she asks, and this is what's really cool, are any of the Zords complete enough to fly out of here? And he's like, you know, I found these Zords in pieces. This is no Megazord Ranger, which I thought was awesome because it's like, nope, this is one robot. This is not, you know, yeah. I'm not smart enough to do what you and Zordon did. These aren't five individual Zords. This is one giant thing. You deal with it.
Yep.
You know, he merged it with the technology of Cyclopsis. Any of the larger Zords are too intertwined with Typhonus's power. And that's where she gets the idea to take her Firebird, which was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seeing the Firebird, man, that's just awesome.
Well, again, it's kind of one of those things that, like, it's like the best fan fiction is totally what it is. And, you know, so they siphon off some power. You get to see in the cockpit. She flies off with them. You know, they go through this and, you know, Goldar is trying to get them to shoot him. Won't. Then, of course, oh, look, shock and surprise. Goldar takes off and betrays them.
Of course he does. Now, see, he wouldn't have been. He might have betrayed them, but he wouldn't have been able to take off and betray them if Zed didn't give him back his wings.
This is true. This is true. Which that was something I was glad they returned back to him because I know he kind of came and went with them. I always thought that kind of made him a little scarier somehow. The wings always made him scarier. Mm-hmm. That, and if you'll notice, I think it's sometime in season two or season three, the face mold for Goldar changed when they weren't reliant on the Sentai footage. So his teeth were bared a little bit more, and he was much scarier with that.
Yeah, much scarier.
But anyway, so he jumps out. Kimberly's flying the Firebird. The Firebird gets taken down. You know, Goldar takes Virto, flies off with him, and they kind of regroup and they're like, you know what? We're not a full team. We need more people. And that's when she recruits Surge. And is that his sister? Or
yes,
yeah,
that's his sister. Yes.
Yeah, Surge and his sister, and, you know, they siphon off more of poor Zordon's powers to give to two strangers.
You know what, though? Unlike the blue whatever it was in the last one that I did, not the blue Centurion, but the other, the one from the more recent series where I kept bitching about it in the last episode we did, again, Beyond the Grid, the dude who went back into the Sentai Zone or something or other, I forget what his name is, but anyway.
Yeah.
Like, unlike that, which I just didn't give a crap about, this is, let's just call it a self-contained story based on Kimberly, based on what she's going through and people she meets. This isn't Boom being told by Nickelodeon to incorporate a character from the upcoming series or from the latest series that may have just ended. This is them just being able to take a character we saw at the beginning of this and by almost the end of it, you know, it's like a weird twist of fate that, hey, you can have Surge and his sister be the other two members because you already had the classic team with Kimberly, Trini, and Zach.
Yeah. Well,
Go ahead.
Well,
I have to...
You go. Your show.
I have to say that throughout half of this book, this entire five issues, anytime Trini gets the spotlight with Kimberly, with Zach, with whomever, I'm like, fuck, I wish she wasn't dead in real life.
I know, right?
Because I keep thinking about Thoy every damn Trini scene.
Yeah, I mean, that was a tragedy for many, many, many reasons. And, you know, I think, and I will say, I think, honestly, like, I think that is something that is amazing about the comic books, is I think they really do her just...
You broke up. I can't hear you. Great. Come on, Zencaster. Do your fucking job. Yeah, you're not...
I'm sorry. There.
Oh, the connection. Connection. Yep. Okay, sorry. So okay, good.
Okay, I'll pick it up. You know, the thing about with Trini in these comics that I think is really good is I think they are doing the actress and the character, I think they're really doing her justice, because I think just like they have with many of them, they're really filling out the character a little bit. And I think the fact that it's making us miss the person is a credit to what they're doing. And I think, I think it is very, I think it's very respectful.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
You know, because they could have easily sort of shied away from her a little bit just because, you know, they're like, well, she's no longer with us. I don't, you know, but they kind of lean into that a little bit, and they really breathe some life into that character, just as they have with many of the other ones. But as fans who miss her and know that, you know, we'll never get that character again, I think it is very nice to see. And what I was going to say too about this choice is it was very brave to make Serge's sister the Red Ranger and not the Blue Ranger, because they could have easily done that.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if that issue with Grace being the Red Ranger had come out yet when this was done.
I'm pretty sure it did. I'll have to double check.
It might have, because it kind of came out. It came pretty early on. But so this is the first or second iteration where they've made the Red Ranger a woman. And I think that's awesome. And I would.
Hey, really, I'm all for it. I mean,
yeah. I would love to see. And they're hamstrung by the Sentai. You know, Hasbro's kind of decided they might do their own thing. But I would really like to see a female Red Ranger leader, you know, in the series for real, not like Samurai where they kind of did it. I think that would be
SPD where they did it, but she was evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. The A Squad.
For sure.
You know what the A Squad stands for, folks? A bunch of assholes. That's what it stands for.
But yeah, so I think that's really cool that they made that decision to do that. And then, you know, Kimberly strikes a deal with Goldar, you know, all this stuff, because she realizes he needs her more than she needs them. And so I love this no killing sort of pact.
Yeah. Yeah, sort of.
Yeah. You know, but they
start very loosely based.
You know, they start setting traps for these things. It's sort of Home Alone like, you know, they start setting, you know, all, going through the town and setting all these things up, and, you know, and then they comes the confrontation with Typhonus and Virto.
Yep.
And I, you know, what's really cool too, and I'm glad they did it, because I was thinking that when I read it, Virto pretty much calls Goldar out, and it was like, first off, you're working with the Power Rangers. Second, you know, I wonder what Lord Zedd and Rita are going to say when I tell them about all of this.
Yes.
Which is really cool to see Goldar once again being blackmailed by everybody.
Because that's what, look, you know, we say we want certain stories told by a certain way or a certain character done a certain way, and that's great. What I would love to see at least once, something happened to Goldar for him to either denounce the evil entirely and become good, or for him to go the other way and go become more maniacal, more intelligent, more eviler than he already is. He has the animal instinct, no pun intended, but he lacks the intelligence. Like,
Yeah, well, and you know, we did get a little bit of his backstory there for a hot second in the main, the main continuity, and they kind of like deviated away from it, which I was like, come on, guys, you're teasing me with some stuff. Give me the meal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but that's kind of hard though, because you know, the Z Wave.
That's true. Yep. Again, you know, you have to worry about all the continuity of it all.
Well, yes and no. I mean, Soul of the Dragon addressed Finster. I mean, Finster wasn't destroyed by the Z-Wave, but he was made good. So, I mean, it's entirely possible that Goldar reformed by the Z-Wave. He wasn't destroyed by it. I remember when it hit Zed and Rita, they basically turned human.
Yeah,
they did. I don't remember what happened to Goldar. I think he might have turned to dust. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't quite remember what happened when it hit him. But again, you know, you can fudge with things a little bit, you know, for storytelling and things like that. I mean, again, we didn't see what happened to Finster, but in Soul of the Dragon, it, you know, came out, hey, he's still living on Earth.
Yep.
So, you know, so they're fighting, you know, they're fighting the Zord, they're fighting Birdo. And then, okay, here's the one part of this that I'm like, Alpha sends in the shark cycles, which I hated as a kid. Even at like age 10, I knew what this was. I knew what this was, just something to sell. And I never wanted them. I didn't think they looked cool. I didn't want motorcycle, you know, whatever. They look dumb. They made no sense because they could teleport. And then Alpha goes, I gave them an upgrade. Flight.
Okay, so...
Just teleport them there, man.
So, looking at the shark cycles again, yes, I agree. They
flying
suck.
Fucking sharks, dude. I mean, well, you're literally jumping the shark.
Okay, yes, but there is a flying shark poet in Transformers named Skybite that everybody loves. Now, the funny thing with these shark cycles here is now that they fly, I'm looking at Kimberly's specifically in that panel where Britt says, I've always wanted a motorcycle of my own.
Yes.
You know, that panel, I'm looking at Kimberly and I'm like, holy crap. You get rid of the wheel on the front of that thing and get rid of the fin on the bits. It's almost like a sky sled from Masters of the Universe.
A little bit. Well, what's really funny, and when I was first reading this, Kimberly's on her motorcycle in the beginning, and she's driving, and she mentions the shark cycles, and I was like, God, what a piece of continuity to bring up, but also, God, those things are stupid. And then sure as shit, they brought them back, and I'm like, that's why you put the damn line in there. I mean, it's, oh, God. You know what it reminds me of? The bullshit ending of Forever Red.
Hey, you leave Forever Red alone.
Forever Red was great until they ran out of money to animate Serpentera. And then the only way they could get money to finish the damn episode is if they featured this stupid motorcycle that was never featured in Wild Force again. And so Serpentera was finally brought down by the Wild Force equivalent of a fucking shark cycle.
It still doesn't take away my enjoyment of Forever Red. I can overlook one space shark cycle.
I love that episode, okay? Every Red Ranger at the time there, morphing, all that good stuff. No. I can totally watch it, but it makes me sad every time because I'm like, it was probably one of the best team ups, most faithful team ups, reunion shows that they've done, but the ending just fell apart because they couldn't, because fucking Saban wouldn't give them more money. And it's like, man, that had the potential to be something even more amazing than it was, but you got cheap. But anyway, back to everything. You know, we get back. So the shark cycles, they're distracting Typhonus. They get back in the Firebird, and they trigger some sort of like repair feature where Typhonus draws it in and like locks it in. You know, it's kind of like in Independence Day when they go, you know, and they go to the
moment. Yeah. Thankfully, you know, it's not as ham-fisted as that was.
I mean, it's a little bit, but it works again. But it works better than the shark cycles.
Well, true. Anything is better than the shark cycles.
Yeah. So, you know, Goldar tries to kill Virdo. They get in there. He calls off Typhonus, and then they coerce Virdo to start changing people back.
Mm-hmm.
let's see here.
Yeah. They change. He's supposed to change them back, but he doesn't. And her mom ends up like giving Virdo this weird monster fish hug.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. And of course, you know, everybody doesn't remember what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So changes her back, but then how do the rest of them get changed back? Does he do that?
I don't think he does. Like, okay, so he grabs her mom's face and does that, but let me see here. How does everybody else?
Kimberly starts holding his scepter, his trident. And so, oh no, yeah. It looks like he's changing the back. You can see in the back of the Come On Guys panel.
Yeah. He's doing it.
Okay, he did it. Okay.
Yeah, it's just he's doing it in the background, and the story is focused on the foreground of the characters until he's done, kind of thing. And I like that they focus on her mom here in this story and not the whole, like, okay, so her mom got remarried. They're living in Paris or France or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, I'm glad that her dad is not a part of this. Like, I don't know where he is, and I don't really whatever. But
so after Kimberly and her mom hug, the next guy that we see transform is her stepdad.
Yeah, her stepdad. But what I'm saying is because they were divorced, her dad, her actual biological father, I don't care that he's not
he's back
not
in Angel Grove. He's not part of the story.
Yeah.
Then Goldar goes off and kills Virdo. Shockingly.
Of course he does.
And we get a Zack and Trini kiss.
Yes, we do.
I kind of like that.
Wait, what? Yeah.
Yeah, we get a Zack. Yeah, that's how we know that they're an item.
Yep. Yep.
And then, you know, we think everything's over. And then we find out that that Tommy and the others, they need some help.
Of course
so,
they do.
So this is where, you know, again, I'm shocked that they didn't include the Dragonzord in here somehow. But this is where we find out that Titanus, which we know about because they use Titanus with the Ninja Zords, mm-hmm. and Tor are still alive and kicking, baby.
Yep.
And, they get them and, these, you know, replacement, Rangers, you know, they hook up and make this, you know, crazy, like traveling Ultra Zord.
Yes.
Which I have the toys. You might be able to finagle Titanus into Tor if you could open the whole thing up. So that's at least by toy scale, it's not impossible. It's a little tweak. So that is possible.
Yeah.
But we get
the way it looks in here is the way it's, you know, Tor is essentially the bottom, Titanus is the middle, and then the rest of the Zord is riding them both.
Yeah.
So that could work.
Yeah, I know it could work, but I love that we get more Serpentera in this because it just kind of went away with the Thunder Zords, you know, which, you know, ninja stuff. There's some changing the guard, but you know, and then of course Serpentera just kind of became the escape vehicle, and that before the Winnebago. But I love that we get that versus the ninja swords. Yes. And we get this sort of Mexican standoff here between the two teams and all that stuff. And then, boom, to the rescue comes Typhonus and the two carrier zords.
Mm-hmm.
Which we never see. This is the first time that we actually see the cockpit of Tor. And yes. I think Titanic.
Because Tor was always the carrier zord. Tor was always... let me store your toys kind of thing. And I don't say that lightly in the fact of, oh my God, this 80s cartoon was just made to sell toys. I don't say that like that. I'm saying that's all we ever saw in the show of him was as a Zord carrier, not an action. He is an actual Zord,
He doesn't really do much in the Sentai, so there's not a lot you can do with him.
Exactly.
As it is.
Whereas here, you could make him do a whole bunch more because you're drawing a comic, and as you already stated, he was never destroyed, and you could use him, you know, however you want.
Yeah, I like that. But which side note, by the way, I have those toys. I didn't think that the Red Dragon and the Tiger Zord actually fit in there. They do. It's cool.
Of course they do.
Well, but there was also a Target variant that had a smaller Tiger Zord and a smaller Red Dragon that would fit in there. So I didn't think it actually did, but it does. Mm-hmm. It's cool. So they land. They don't actually tell the other Power Rangers who they are. They don't really. Kimberly gets out of this.
That's true. Yeah.
Tommy never knows that's Kimberly, and that's the way she kind of likes it.
Mm-hmm.
Zach flies Tor on a kamikaze mission to destroy the disruptor that is jamming up the ninja zord. While Typhonus kind of distracts and Titanus just sits around and does nothing. they kind of stand there and allow the Power Rangers to run to their Zords, which again, they can teleport, but whatever. and there's this epic fight between, again, Typhonus and Serpentera. And then we get, of course, the Power Rangers in true form, the Ninja Falcon Zord or whatever they called it, fighting alongside Typhonus, which was really cool.
It was super awesome.
Yeah. And then, you get the Falcon Zord and then eventually, they win and they fly back and, they fly their crash Zords and, Kimberly gets, I do like this, that Kimberly kind of gets a little melancholy here because even though she got to come save the day, she realizes that all of this happened and she never knew. This world has gone on without her. Even though she's happy, it's still a little bit sad.
Yep. But again, she's making new friends. She has the old friends, it leaves us with a really great message about who she is and who the friends are, the new friends that she's made and who Zach and Trini were always. And, we get, wait, no, not the end. And, she goes sees her mom and her stepdad. Yeah, apparently somehow she won the Pan Global Games during all of this. I don't know how the hell that happened.
Well,
but okay. You know what? It's fine. It's not that big of a deal. It's not going to like, oh my God, I'm docking 4 stars because she didn't blah, 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 whatever. Because, and then, we kind of end with her, Zach and Trini at the cafe. And I'm like, oh man, I kind of remember when this was published, but looking at that phone screen, man, oh boy, there is no more 50% on the iPhones anymore, folks. It's just a battery bar. 13 my butt. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But so I like this. You know,
yeah, I liked it. Well, I was just saying. And then we also wrap up with the two friends that we made. So which, you know what? It would have been really cool if somehow they could have figured out a way to maybe incorporate some future Rangers or like somehow some ties there. Because it does kind of stink. Like, they're one-time Rangers. They know about this stuff, but they don't. That's it. You know, so it would be cool if they, if somewhere down the line they kind of come back, but it's, it, as you said, it's a subpar, it's a subplot kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's not bad. And I love her internal monologues in this,
But I did get something wrong. I talked about her and Tommy and, it makes more sense. It's the end of this series that motivates her to give Tommy the Dear John letter.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's part of her lament. You know, her and Tommy are sort of, they're sort of an item still. And all of this went on and he didn't even tell her about it. And, you know, that's, I think that was it gives more meat to her breaking up with him than as opposed to I'm breaking up with him.
Yeah. Yeah, it gives more to her character. It, again, she's going through all of this. Meanwhile, the rest of the main team are off doing their thing, and Tommy's not really paying attention. He's trying to save the world at the moment, and he's got Kat there, and he's got to take care of all, whatever. But, you know, it's not a bad thing. I really dig this story. I really think they did a wonderful job of telling us a full-on Kimberly story.
Yes.
That it did not need to be, will they, won't they? Are they dating? Are they going to break up? Are they going to get married in the future? Nobody freaking knows.
But you know what? I think they did something, though, that that did sort of help with the Kimberly character. Because there is in the Power Ranger fandom the, you know, division of Team Kat, Team Kimberly kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kimberly doesn't come off looking so great in that episode where he gets the letter. Because she's like, she says something has happened here. This kind of gives that a little bit of context. And so you don't think that Kimberly was cheating on Tommy.
Right. No.
Her life has changed. So that is kind of nice that they did throw that in there. Because again, this has all been a nice enhancement of the character that Amy Jo Johnson built and the writers on Power Rangers. So I think all in
absolutely.
All, I think that is the strongest bit of criticism and like review I can give is that this was a great enhancement of Kimberly Hart, the character created, you know, and built by Amy Jo Johnson and the writers on Power Rangers. I think this added so much to that character and didn't in any way, shape, or form take anything away.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it took nothing away from it. It, like you said, it only enhanced it. If I'm rating this on our 0 to 5 scale, which includes half points, I'd probably give it a 5, honestly. I really enjoyed this. There were little things, but not enough of little things for me to take off any real major points to it.
Yeah. 4.5. Fucking shark cycles. No. I'm kidding. I'll give it a 5.
No, fucking
shark cycle.
I mean,
because as much as I hate them, it was a good use of sort of extraneous continuity and this total like thing that was built for like a couple of episodes to sell some toys. I still think making them fly was fucking stupid, but but again, I will overlook that and I will give it a 5.
Oh man, flying shark cycles. What's God, next?
Damn it. It just that's almost as bad as jetting. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That was even worse. It's like they can teleport. Did you forget they can teleport? Ugh.
Tell us how you really feel, Jesse.
God, it looks stupid as a kid, and it looks stupid now. It's just, the metallic armor, that was, you know, I at least overlooked that, but it was just like, so we put glitter on their fucking spandex suits. Okay. You know, I realized that the movie suits were a little too hard to make, you know, they couldn't stand the punishment of the spandex suits,
mm-hmm.
You know, because I was like, well, maybe you could use the movie suits as the metallic armor, but it wouldn't have worked. But still, it's like, come on.
Ugh. Yeah, no, it wouldn't have worked. And I think maybe the movie suits would look great in the comic, depending on how they were used. But again, you're talking about a specific moment in, I think, in the comics so far, because we're about to get to other things later on. Most likely, it's probably going to be sometime in 2022, with finishing up volumes 11, 12, 13, and 14, which is the final arc of the original first ongoing series, and then we'll branch off into whatever the hell else they're doing now.
Yeah.
But, you know, the necessary evil arc and whatever that has, like, there's only so many loopholes. There's only so many time pockets you can put your change into to figure out where to use things. Now, if they decided to do a movie comic one shot where it's an adaptation of the movie for some sort of, I don't know, anniversary that's coming up in 2025, that would be kind of cool.
I don't know that I need a movie comic. You know, the movie kind of was what it was. And I don't know. I don't know that I need anything. I don't need them to add in the movie in any way. Like, I think the movie stood alone and it has its flaws. It has its, you know, it has its moments. But I don't think, because I think a lot of structurally what was wrong with the movie was all visual. I don't think, you know, because it's like the suits were cool, but it wasn't the suits from the TV. So, you know, you don't really need a comic book to fix that. Also, the Zords, also the Ectomorticons, the CG on that was abysmal. You don't really need a comic book version of that to fix that. I think story-wise, I think the TV show did enough with the story to make up for what that is. I don't think you need a special like movie comic book. You know, and the
funny thing is about the CGI, that was 1994, it was released in 95, but they were probably producing it in 94. CGI was just on the verges of becoming what it is now. So
it was still better than that. It was still better than that at the time. I mean, again, like looking at that, it's like, just put some dude in a suit, man. Just put the fucking suit in. It's not that hard.
All right. So a 4.5 and a 5.
I'm giving it a Power Rangers. Officially on the record, I'm giving it a 5. Anyway.
See, folks. Shark cycles, you can jump them, but it doesn't really matter in the end. Because you know the story is way better than just one moment. You know that.
Oh, it is. It totally is. And I give them credit for using it. You know, at least they brought in something like that. And it's very reminiscent with the timeline with where they're at on that too. So like, again, there was a lot of work put into where this fits into Power Rangers canon time. And I appreciate that a lot as a fan. I really appreciate the thought in put into this and making it make sense. Even if you didn't have the other Boom Studios background, like comic going, you could pick this up and it would make sense in context of the TV show. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. All right, folks, coming up here in November 2021, next week, Jesse will be back as we head down the psychopath. So that's going to be interesting.
I'm excited for this. I've been asking for more stories like this.
I figured you were going to like this one because of how they handle it and what's done and whatever.
Well, these miniseries, I've maintained, we got the Psycho's Path, and then of course there's the Time Force one. They need to keep using these to tie up loose ends, and there's supposedly one around the Phantom Ranger supposed to be coming here.
I've heard that, yes.
Relatively soon. So it's like they've got, if they can do the Phantom Ranger, then they can tell us what the hell happened to the Zeo Crystal.
It became the 1-2-3 crystal. I don't know.
Shut up. Anyway.
You can tell, folks, Jesse kind of has a thing about the continuity.
I just want to know, like they left some big things, and it's like, this is what I love about the comics is these are great ways to, I'm not even going to say retcon, but just come up with a creative solution that doesn't require the resources of a television show. So you can come up with an in-canon explanation for something that we are never going to get in context of the TV show. So it fills in some holes for those of us who grew in there, and it enhances the viewing pleasure.
Absolutely.
I agree. That's what I want from this. That's what I'm hoping. Soul of the Dragon it was great. Psycho's Pact. We'll talk about that. It answers some questions that were sort of left, there. You have this opportunity. The biggest one is, what the fuck happened to the Zeo Crystal, and why were there in goddamn cars afterwards?
Oh, that's what it is, folks. He's salty about the cars.
We went from freaking stronger than before to go turbo.
Hey, no. There's nothing wrong with going turbo.
But it seems step down. The Zeo Crystal, it's supposed to get more and more powerful over time. And then for some reason in the fucking Turbo movie, Cat goes to morph once, falls in the water, and uh-oh, can't use Zeo powers no more. You got me. It's the fucking water. And I know
can't you tell, folks?
And I know there's deleted scenes where they talk about a little bit of what happened. Like, I've heard those interviews and stuff. I just want what we got with Power Rangers Pink. 6 issues to go, okay, here's what happened. Let's move on. Anyway.
I can't stop laughing, folks, because Jesse is just so...
I'm a fanboy. I have, I have a collection of Zords. I had to move my command center to get my copy of Power Rangers Pink.
Heaven forbid you have to move your toys around to pick up the comic book.
Currently, I am in the process of making my own life-size power blaster. I have the axe and the power sword made. I'm in the process of Billy's Power Lance.
Wow.
Yeah, so when I say, I like this stuff, I'm a fan through and through.
Not questioning your fandom. There's other things that we can question.
Anyway, on that note, it's been a blast.
Is there anything, yes, absolutely, as always, is there anything you would like to promote in November 2021? Thanksgiving's coming up, folks, and... oh boy, I'm already feeling turkey drunk at this point.
Yeah, no, just everybody enjoy what time you get, and I'll say this: may the power protect you.
Absolutely. Where can the people find you online, sir?
You can find me on TikTok, on Instagram, on Twitter. I'm on Snapchat. I never check it at Jesse Rass. JESSE. RAS. There is no ass in Rasmussen except me, and but spelling wise, no. So you can find me there. You can always hit me up, follow me. I'll give you a follow back, all that good stuff. And if you want to chat Power Rangers, I'm always down to chat that. Comics, I'm up on some, not up on others, and I'm always down to chat with a fellow Power Rangers fan.
There you go. Very awesome, folks. I am at TFG and Mike on Twitter. You can hear all the other contact info in the outro. Make your great escape into comics, and may the power protect you, and we will catch you next week when we head down the psychopath.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullback, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
Let the power protect you.